Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is the Pissed Off episode 19. Thank you, Twitter and internet, for just enraging both Carrie and I. You all can go fuck yourselves. Except for you cool people. You cool people that are like, hey, let's have fun. You're awesome.
People that like enjoy things.
Yeah, I mean, if you have fun.
Like my awesome unicorn coffee mug, it makes my coffee taste better.
Oh no, I'm coffee elitist. That's bullshit. You can't drink out of that.
Look, the other side is a rainbow.
God. Oh, that's special.
It makes, yeah, it's amazing like how much happier I've gotten since I closed down Twitter.
Right. I shut that shit down and all of a sudden all the hate goes away. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think Joss Whedon has it right. Just leave Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I already had friends that are like, isn't it funny how Joss Whedon gets all this attention, but all the feminists that get shut down every day, they don't get any attention? It's like, oh, God damn it.
Oh, yes, they don't get any attention at all.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. Yeah.
But you know what else really infuriates me other than fucking Twitter and all the hate? Oh, that Mortal Kombat X season pass. Oh, that was so frustrating.
Yes, well, I'm thankful that I talked to you about my experience, because otherwise I would have been so frustrated trying to figure out how this worked. So, I wanted to talk about season passes because I know the Mortal Kombat X has gotten a interesting rap about their season pass, because the season pass is rather pricey. The combat pack pass, it's pretty pricey, and from what I understand, you really only get, like, you know, extra skins and maybe in a few other characters, correct? Like, you get, like, Jason and Predator. Am I right with Predator?
Yep.
And Tanya. And the thing that kind of drives me nuts about Tanya being part of the season pass or the combat pack, it's not a season pass, is because she's fucking in the game.
I know. And she's, like, you only see her for one chapter. I was like, okay, I mean, yeah, when you fought her, she's kind of a badass, so I really want to try her out. But at the same point, it's like, so you got this one person in here who was in here for a glimpse of the game. Hooray.
I can understand, like, you know, Jason and Predator, you know, being part of a character pack because, you know, they're not part of the game. But if they're in the game at all, even just story, like Frost, for example, like, you know, she just randomly comes in, breaks up the little tea party between
Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
I was trying to remember the real names, but yeah. Okay.
We'll
just go with that. And, you know, and then Sub-Zero freezes her ass. And that's it. So I haven't played enough of the game. Like, is she part of the character roster at all?
Who, Frost?
Yeah.
No, she's not in the character roster this time. I forget when she was in there for, like, Mortal Kombat 3, and that's the only time I've ever really seen
her. Okay, so I'm also wondering, so is she going to be, you know, later on in the combat pack? Because they haven't announced, you know, every single pack that's gonna come out. So it's just kind of like...
Well, they did... When the game was coming out, and they're like, yeah, if there's a character you want, like, if there's enough want for it, they'll probably put it in. Because there's been a lot of hubbub about them bringing back Baraka. Apparently, I'm not the only one that's like, I want him back, but I don't know. There are characters that it would be nice. I'd like to actually play, you know, all the evil, like evil Liu Kang. That'd be cool. I'd like to try that. I'd like to play evil Kung Lao. That'd be cool. I'd try that. I'd really like to try Pissed Off Raiden, but I don't know.
That's the other thing now we're getting into a little more, maybe more gripes with Mortal Kombat X itself, and right. That, you know, like, for example, like you're saying, like Kung Lao and Liu Kang and Smoke and Kitana, they're all revenants in the game. So they are possessed. They are possessed undead that are pissed off. And, but when if you play against them, like in matches or in the towers, you play them before they became revenants.
Yep. So in the story, Melina dies. So, and you can play her too.
Well, same thing with Quan Chi, right? I mean,
yep.
You can play him too. Well, I mean, those, I guess I don't have as much a beef about, playing as Melina, because I think that, but that, because you never get to play her in the story, and I think that there is a calling, there is a fan base for her, wanting to play as her. I like the fans more than I like the Psy throwing, so I was always more of a Kitana fan.
But
That and Kitana wears blue. Blue's my color. But these are important things when you are
important
a small
decisions.
child. Yeah, so actually the fans I always thought was very cool, and I really like how they depict her fans now with the blades and the fans, which always, 'cause always made me wonder, like, how do you kill somebody with the fan? Is it like the paper? She just do it so fast. It's like a really bad paper cut. I mean, but as it's, I have a problem with the season pass. Like, it's extra to play these characters that are in the game. Even it's almost like they dangle this carrot, like, you want it? You want it? You see her? She's here. Yeah, she's here. You can't play as her. You got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, and ultimately what's going to happen and why a lot of people end up, a lot of fans buy the game right up off the bat. Like I bought Street Fighter 4, then I bought Super Street Fighter. Anyway, I bought all three iterations of the three or four iterations of the Street Fighter 4 game. And it's the season passes are also one of the things that will stop me from buying certain games. Kind of like Uncharted. Like I won't buy those games when they first come out because you get some of the DLC stuff, and then there's always a game of the year version that comes out and it has all that stuff in there, like Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
You had that season pass and it's cool, but at the same point I was like, I'm already playing other games, and then we start getting all these game of the year editions. It's just like, fuck it, I'll just wait till the game of the year edition, or the ultra premium one that comes out like a year later, and you get all the DLC and it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's at least like 40 or $50
Yeah, and you get
compared to
all
if you buy the season pass at the time, so you're talking about, $90 to $100.
And let's to me costumes, let's face it, people are going to buy costumes. It's been going on for a long time. It's what makes fucking League of Legends tick. People are buying dress-up clothes for their dolls, as Ross likes to call it, and that's cool. It's nice that because we have the season pass or the combat pack or whatever the fuck, let's just call it season pass,
Just call it, yeah.
because we have the season pass, right? So like you got three costumes at the start. Now you got three more costumes, the horror costumes, which Melina's vampire costume is freaking amazing. I love that costume. That was pretty awesome.
Especially, guys, I can't wait to see it, especially like, with the teeth
Oh, you can't
on
even see
her
that. She
jaw.
she's got a nice like little cloth dangly thing over her face. It just
Oh, okay.
it's a really good vampire-ish outfit. I'm sure people are gonna be like, oh, she's too scantily clad, blah blah blah. But yeah, at the same point, I'm chucking spears through people's heads and they're getting up and fighting again. So really, come on.
Walk it off, man.
Yeah, walk it off. So it's not so much that in characters, we haven't really seen, because I got the season pass, right? So I don't know how much Goro cost to buy outright. I'm guessing it was like $4 or $5.
Because I pre-ordered Goro.
Yeah, if you pre-ordered it, you
So
got it for free.
I didn't pre-order Goro.
You pre-ordered the game
I
and you got
pre-ordered the game,
it.
so I got Goro. So I don't know. I think he's $2.
And I don't know how much Jason sells for outright either. So to me, okay, if you're gonna that kind of thing,
I
okay.
don't think you can buy Jason alone.
Hey.
I think you have to get him in a pack,
All right.
a
Well,
character pack. I don't know.
so if let's break it down. Let's say that they charged $4 or $5 per character. Goro, I mean, that was kind of something that they just threw in there. And really, if it was a pre-order bonus, I can't really see why they would charge more for that. Because, I mean, basically everybody and their brother who pre-ordered it got the fucking Goro. And he's already part of that. Like, he was already on the roster. It was just you unlocked being able to use him. So that part, this season pass, after you got it yesterday or today or whenever you install it, it adds the four extra character slots, so you can see Jason, and now I can actually see Predator and Tremor and what's her face. So if we break it down, okay, so
Okay, I have price listings
okay,
if you
what are character prices?
Okay, so Goro, you were right, he was $5 to buy him. You cannot get the horror pack. You cannot purchase it. It is part of the combat pack.
Okay.
The samurai pack which is a pack of three different skins, is $4.
Okay.
And then there's they don't have Jason on here. Oh, because Jason, you can only get Jason with the combat pack. So I'm assuming that Predator and the other two characters are the same. If you want to get a new skin for Sub-Zero, it's $2.
Well, I had to pay that. That wasn't part of the season pass thing.
So. Right. Yeah, that's separate. So that is the breakdown. And the combat pack is 30. I thought it was 40 originally, but it's 30. So
I think it was 20. Well, okay. So let's try to figure. Let's based off of what we have, right? So. Costumes are going to be $2 a shot and characters will be $5 a shot. So you got four characters. So that's $20 right there. And so far we've got six skins. That's $12. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're already $2 ahead at this point.
Yeah. And this is not all that the combat pack's going to have either. So like they're going to release, you know, different characters and skins over time. I would love it if they did a Christmas pack as part of the combo.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
The combo, Santa Claus hats, and that'd be so much fun.
Oh, that would be great.
Cage family gets festive. Johnny Cage is Jax, because he's a bigger guy. Jax could be Santa.
No. You have Ferritor. Tor will be Santa, okay. And Ferritor can be a little elf.
No, that character is messed up, okay?
Oh, he'd make it great. Anyway, you know, my biggest beef...
Have Devorah be Mrs. Claus? There's your nightmares.
Hell yeah. I don't know. My biggest problem with this season pass in particular was how it is rolling onto the console, and it is such a clusterfuck. It is so terrible.
Yeah, Chris went to give me a lesson because I got a review code for the combat pack. So, you know, I put it in. And I noticed it didn't show up. I put it in through my computer because Sony lets you do that now. It's so nice. Yep. And I noticed it didn't show up in the download list. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird. Oh, maybe I have to go activate it. I think I heard you have to activate it through the game. So I load up the game like last night. I loaded it up. Went there. I saw that the combat pack was there. Went to go click on it to download. And it went into this vicious loop where it was just stuck. Like, okay, I guess maybe they're having internet problems again. I can't tell. But then Chris explained to me that no, that's not what it is. It's just that you have to throwing it to you.
Right. I was reading what Ross sent me because he just said that for tonight. So in order for you to do the combat pack on MKX, you can't just go to combat pack and download it. No. If you're on the PlayStation itself, from what I understand, is you have to go to the little, you know, the PlayStation store, and you have to R1 and go to each thing and download each part of it individually. So if you want Jason, you have to go find Jason in your little scrolly thing and download it. If you want the costumes, you have to go find those and download those. If you're on the PC, which is a little bit easier, a little bit quicker, because you can do it while you're, you know, surfing the net or at work, trying to pretend you're working. You go to the store, you search for Mortal Kombat, you go into the add-ons, you find all those stupid, like, did have to do on the PlayStation. You have to find Jason, tell it to download your PlayStation 4. Actually, you have to rebuy it. It'll be free. Yes. If you have the code. Yeah. When you go to buy it, it will say that it's free. Mm-hmm. You have to get all that crap in your cart, rebuy it, and then go to the download and tell it to download your PlayStation 4. It is such a cumbersome mess. And there are, because it unlocked in Europe, and I was reading the forums, and people were having such an issue, because you know, you go, if you're in the game, you just go to combat pack and you expect, hey, look, I should be able to download the combat pack because that's what this is. Nope. You have to do it all individually. And you had to wait for the patch to come out.
Well, and you know what they have, you should have in season passes before is that, you know, you activate the season pass, like you download the PS, you know, your PS4 or your PlayStation 3 or whatever you have, you put it on your machine. And then when the next item update, you know, releases, it automatically
downloads. Yeah, because my other experience as far as season passes go on console is The Crew. I bought that one and I was like, okay, so it's not out yet, but they're going to start releasing it and trickling it out. And sure shit, I'd turn on my PlayStation 4 and every once in a while I'd get a patch for The Crew and there was part of my season pass. Here's the other part of my season. And it just rolled on in, no issue.
Right.
Didn't have to do any sort of interaction with it. It was just coming through. So why NetherRealm and Warner Brothers couldn't have figured this shit out?
I mean, the only other time I think that I've had to do individual downloads is, like, for example, like, I got, it's not really a season, it kind of is a season pass for, like, the episodic games. Like, I basically, I purchased all five of them ahead of time. So those you have to individually do because they're considered individual games.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense because it's
right
like that. But I was expecting this to roll through kind of like my experience with The Crew. I was expecting this stuff to just trickle in as it comes out. But, man, it's got so many people confused as to how the fuck do I get Jason? Because it's like everybody wants to play Jason right now because, you know, it's Jason. So in the forums, it's just like, how do I make this happen? And then you had to wait for a patch to come out. But apparently in Europe, you could actually get Jason before you had to wait for the 1.04 patch. But it unlocked before that patch rolled through in Europe. So people were like, oh, no. So you have to go to the store. You have to get it downloaded. It'll download. You can't activate it. So what you got to do is you got to log into the game and then choose like a specific character. And before you do anything, you have to load up Netflix, let that sit there for a second, close Netflix, go back to the game, reload the game, and Jason would unlock. And it's like, oh my, really? Really? This is, man. And it's got so many people upset with how this is going for them. But I don't know. Now that we kind of know how it's going to go from here on out, I'm not overly concerned with it now because I kind of know what I have to do. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
It's still a pain in the ass, though.
But
it's overly complicated for what it should be.
But I mean, okay, so to stop bitching about this because this is a clusterfuck. As far as a season pass goes, it really depends on what's in it. That makes me either want to buy it or I'll just wait for a Game of the Year edition.
Right.
Like, you know. The Crew, that was a really good one. What have I bought on?
Well, see, I was thinking the other day, like, and sometimes I've fallen into. Well, I always hate, like, for example, BioShock Infinite was one of those where you had to buy that you had to pre-order the season pass like ahead of time before they even announced what you would get. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I enough like the game. Well, I'm so glad I did not spend my $30 on season pass because I hated the game. I absolutely hated it. And by the time I finished it, they were no longer taking pre-orders for the season pass. And then they announced what was in it. And I'm like, so there was that situation. I also had a situation where when I played Middle or Shadow of Mordor, I really liked what I was playing. And so and I heard what the season pass was going to entail. So I went and bought the season pass. And I have not touched Shadow of Mordor since then. I haven't finished the game. I don't think I'm going, if I'm going to play it, I'm going to have to restart because I'm so far along. I got to relearn. And yeah, so I don't even, I have a feeling that was a waste of my money. I'm never going to get back to Shadow of Mordor or because there's just so many other open world games that I need to be playing.
That's another thing to consider when you're like, so if you bought the season pass for Destiny, I know this because I watch a Destiny streamer every day just because he's entertaining. But, you know, like they got, the first expansion, The Dark Blow. So that was the two levels, the two raids and that, which seemed like a pretty solid, you know, whatever. I don't even know what the season pass for that game was. Mm-hmm. But and now we have House of Wolves, which is coming out relatively soonish. And people are getting really excited about that. And a few people have been like, yeah, this is going to bring people into Destiny. It's going to make it a little bit more. So hopefully for Blake that, you know, I won't have to hear that all the time. But so I don't know how much that was. I'm guessing it's $30 or $40. To me, that seems like a fair price. But like you just pointed out, you really have to start because you really have to kind of figure out how long you're going to play a game if it's even going to justify it, right? Because you're waiting for that content to trickle in. And by the time that content starts trickling in, we have this whole thing now where we play games for like a week and then they kind of get shoveled aside and that's it, right? So
yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, but that's the way it is.
To quote Ross, old game is old after a week. So, you know, how long is it going to take them to trickle that in? It's kind of like the Batman Arkham, the new Batman game that's coming out. You know, that season pass is $40.
Whoa, Destiny expansion pass is, because it's not the season pass, it's expansion pass, is $35.
It's not too bad. I mean, there's pretty healthy amount of content there. That you, if you're into Destiny, really, that's a lot of content. So
House of, I mean, looking at how much the Dark Below and the House of Wolves are each $20, so I mean that saves you $5 right there. Yeah, well, that's another reason why I want to talk season passes, was the whole Batman season pass, because they announced that, hey, we're gonna have, you know, $40 season pass. We're not telling you what's in it. But then I guess the internet screamed loud enough and they're like, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that without, like, you know, saying what's going to be in it. So they announced some things, and now more people are interested because they've announced for the first time ever Batgirl is going to be playable. And I have to admit, that's gotten me interested. Not only that, but they said there's going to be a whole lot of single player missions for Batman as well as his family, the Bat family, because they really hinted that the Bat family is going to be a part of it. Except for Batgirl, because I was getting an argument with my boss about this the other day. I was like, so how can you have Oracle, because they made a big deal that Oracle is still there, and then have Batgirl? And he was like, well, I don't understand. I was like, because they're the same person? And he had no idea. And I said, like, well, you know, Oracle's in a wheelchair because Joker shot her. He's like, she is? I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Like, another reason why Serbia sucks, people. Another reason why Serbia sucks.
You know, so I was just playing, it's like, you know, she does regain use of her legs later, obviously, because there is the Batgirl comics and she's, you know, a badass once again. But, like, well, does she get the surgery, like, I don't know, when the game is over and now she's Batgirl again? So we skip ahead, surgery, rehab, all that. She's already Batgirl. Or is she faking being in the wheelchair?
Actually, Carrie, I got a little glimpse of the storyline. It was a teaser on a site. What happens is a rift opens up between dimensions.
Oh, stop it. Just stop it right now. Just stop.
And one Batgirl comes in anyway.
Yeah. Really, what it is that they aren't thinking about the continuation between Barbara Gordon and all that. I'm sorry if it spoiled it for you that Oracle and Batgirl are Barbara Gordon. Apparently spoiled it for my boss. He had no clue. I know, it really hurt me. And I'm not a huge Batman fan, and I know this crap. Of course, I was also having to explain to people who Red Hood was, you know, because they showed in one of the trailers that they have Robin, which I believe this Robin is... I don't think it's Red Robin. I think it's his son.
Okay.
Damian. Maybe it is Red Robin. Fuck, I don't know. There's a Robin. And Nightwing is there, which has got me suddenly interested in this game. Like, oh, Nightwing, okay. And now they have Season Pass with, like, more stuff with Nightwing. And then they have Red Hood, which I'm like, God damn, why did he just stay dead? And for those who don't know, Red Hood is Jason Todd, who was the second Robin, who was pretty much had an identical origin story to Dick Grayson. Fans did not like him and was promptly killed off. And then they said, well, let's just bring him back. He's now a vigilante called Red Hood. So he's part of the Bat family. And
have they announced, like, how fast this content's going to be trickling out?
They have not. Hold up, let me double check that. Like, before I seal that, and then I'm wrong because, well,
I'm wrong all the time. Don't worry.
I'm wrong all the time, but I still would like to double check what I have, because they announced. Oh, come on, load, you bitch. Where's Batgirl? Okay.
It's Google taking up all your bandwidth.
Is it? Yeah. Now, my computer's been running kind of slow today. Although I do have to say, the character design for Batgirl is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot of that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Let's see. So, come on. No, they have not. Nothing. All that to tell you nothing. I think over the next 6 months. So,
I mean, people are going to beat the game within a week, maybe two. You know, the fast ones, and I don't know. It's so hard. I mean, the best one that I can only compare the crew, and they at least, it was within 2 or 3 weeks that all suddenly some of that stuff started trickling in. So MKX, MKX, to give them, you know, some props, Jason came out within 3 weeks of the game, and people are still playing the game, so it's still pretty hot. So having Jason come out within 3 weeks to a month, that makes sense. You know, so now you got that, and you have the little care. So I'm guessing we'll have another character within the next couple weeks, just to kind of string that along. So that's good. But yeah, like you said, like the Shadows of Mordor, though. I mean, all that crap came out. You already paid for it, and you've never touched it.
Yeah.
So would it have been better to have just waited and bought a Game of the Year edition?
Right, that just released this week.
Oh, see, there you go. And that game is only
$40.
No, but the game is only what, a couple months old, half a year old now?
A half a year old. It came out in October.
And now you have a freaking Game of the Year edition. So a game of the half year edition.
Right. But this was something that I got bought because I had to review it. So it was just stupid for me to buy a season pass, because where I am in my life, I know, play the tiny violins for me. Just where I am is that I just can't stick with a game for very long. I have to move to the next. And I did pull up an older news story. The season pass is including DLC for the 6 months following the game's release. So you're talking from June to Christmas.
Okay. Okay.
But that's still, I mean, that's $40. That's, I mean,
there's a lot of stuff. What I would really like to see in, you know, a lot of games now, because they, you know, you have to be online and all that other jazz. And, you know, you can base it off of achievements. You know, how many people buy a season pass and then never touch it or never actually get through it all?
Right. Oh.
I think that'd be a really good metric to see, you know, how this is going. You know, when season passes first started coming out, they were like $20-$25, and now we're coming close to having a full game. Yeah, I mean, and if your season pass is going to be $40, and then 6 months later you're going to have the entire game plus all of that season pass crap crammed in for the price of the season pass alone, what incentive are you providing people now? Mm-hmm. You know,
well, one thing, Ubisoft did, because, you know, they had the season pass for Assassin's Creed Unity, which I did not buy because I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like Unity, and then I loved it, and then I couldn't buy it because they pulled it after all the launch problems, because they said they were gonna give a couple of, they gave one of the DLCs for free, the Dead Kings, and then everyone who pre-ordered the season pass got another game for free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they had it very nice, but anyway, but Assassin's Creed Chronicles, which is a episodic, it's going to be three of them, that was also part of the season pass, even though they are standalone games. And I just finished Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, the first episode, last night. That game cost me $9.99. I seriously thought it was going to take me like 2 days. You know, say it's a $10 game. I just finished it last night, and it's been out for like over a week and a half. And I was playing 2 to 3 hours a day. I mean, I probably like anywhere between like 10 and 12, maybe 14 hours. I mean, that's like, that was more than a bang for a buck. And I think that was part of a season pass for $30. Yeah. And there's two others coming.
And see, to me, if that season pass was $30 and you have, you know, three basically what sounds like they're gonna be 10 to 12 hour games, and they're pretty solid if the first one's any indication to me, that would make a season pass well worth it, because you're saving money,
right?
You know,
and these aren't missions that are just like, you know, extra single player missions to have Arno do in Paris or Versailles, or I forget where the Dead Kings one was, but this is totally different assassin, totally different story, totally different gameplay. So it's just, I mean, it really is. It is a standalone game. Like you can buy it. Like, you don't have to have Unity to play this. I'm going to write my review today, but it's definitely getting an Editor's Choice Award, and it's probably one of the best Assassin's Creed games I've ever played.
Nice.
It's definitely ranking it. Like, my favorite Assassin's Creed is definitely Brotherhood, and then it goes Unity, and now I got Assassin's Creed China. Although China might surpass Unity a little, because the Unity was so much fun. Oh my gosh, if I had friends who still played it, I would still go jump in on co-op and go run around, because that game was so much fun.
So, season passes. in a short two sentence, three sentence thing, what do you think?
I think they can be a good thing, but they've been mishandled and misused. I think that a lot of developers, I think there's a lot of potential with them, with developers who maybe they just have all these ideas that maybe they just couldn't get into the game for whatever reason. Or they come up with ideas later, like in the case of Dragon Age, one of the DLCs for Dragon Age 2 directly relates to everything that happens in Inquisition. So it was like they wanted to figure out how a good way to bridge with where they were going, and so they did DLC. And Mass Effect did the exact same thing. Some of the DLC in Mass Effect 2 directly related to the events in Mass Effect 3, like important events. Like when you start Mass Effect 3, why is Shepard in not jail, but technically jail? If, unless you played one of the DLCs, you don't know that.
So really, it's, you know, depending. Yeah, on, so it's game
I could see it. You know, used in interesting ways. So the problem that I get with season passes is when they announce it before the game is even fucking out, and then they're like, "Well, here it's going to cost $40," but we're not telling you anything that's
in it.
And I like, you know, obviously season passes for episodic games. Totally get that. So yeah, I just, you know, it's not like so many things. They're great ideas, but they get misused.
Yep, I can see that. Especially if they're like, yeah, this my issue has also been the times where they've come out and been like, this is gonna be in the game, and then they're like, oh yeah, well, it's not gonna be in the game, but it'll be in the season pass or this DLC or whatever. It's like, you just said it was gonna be in the game 2 months ago, and now you're telling me that it was because the code has already been started. It's already there, and you've already got the assets kind of planned out and ready to go. And now you're saying, no, we're going to milk it.
Right.
For me, season passes, it's all value that it's really hard to say this because some people are going to be part of the problem. Some people aren't. You know, to me, the MKX stuff at $30, $35, whatever it is, yeah, that's good because I want the extra four characters and the free costumes. The stuff for like the crew, that was good. Something as far as a game that's going to take me a while, a couple 40 some odd hours, and your content isn't going to come out for a couple months, that's not really worth it to me anymore. At that point, I'm just waiting for a Game of the Year edition. And like I just alluded to, if you're using a season pass to strip content out of a game that you've already put in there. And the worst part is if that season pass comes through and it's like a 2K thing, and it's basically just a little line of code that unlocks that crap that's already on the game that you've already been playing.
Right.
That part really gets me irritated.
Didn't Capcom do that too?
Oh yeah, they've done that. Like the Street Fighter, it would unlock costumes and characters just because, like,
that was already on disc.
Yeah. It was like, Super Street Fighter 4, the DLC thing came across, it was like a 2K unlock, and they're like, yeah, that's, there's no way that it was the character and all the costumes at 2K. That's, it's there to me, that's companies abusing season passes and DLC as a whole. So
unfortunately though, as long as people pay for it, they're gonna keep doing it.
And ultimately, season passes, they're here, they're going to be here to stay. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. And really, it's going to come down to each individual person to decide whether or not it's going to be worthwhile. And I think it's going to be something that, if Batman is anything, if these prices keep going up, it's going to be something that people are really going to sit down long and hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm sure as hell I wouldn't buy it, because I'll probably beat Batman and I'll be the end of it. And I don't care, unless I heard something really great about, you know, the extra content that's coming through. There's not a whole lot's going to make me want to kind of go back through and play through it, because it's not a game. Those games weren't ever ones that I was like, oh, I need to go through it and play it again. It's not like, for me, like a Souls game where you beat it once and you've played it through one way and you're like, oh, I need to play it through again and see. It's not a Dragon Age game where you have all these options and
or Mass Effect or Witcher or,
you know, there's
even Infamous, you know.
I mean, if there's replay value and your content comes through at that point, okay, I'm going to try out your content. But at the same point, if it's something so like a Batman game, I play through those games once and that's it. And usually I play through them and I get them done in about a week and a half. And that's it. I never touch them again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, to me, I think people are going to have to fucking adult up and start evaluating whether or not a season pass is good. And it's, yes, you generally save some money. If you're going to buy all the DLC, it's generally $5 to $10 cheaper to just do the season pass up front than mm-hmm. it is to buy it all separately. But at the same point, if you're not going to play the game much after, and that season pass stuff isn't going to be out for 6 months and you're done with the game in 2 weeks, probably not worth your effort. You may even just want to consider holding off until the Game of the Year edition comes out. So that way you can play the mm-hmm. entire game and be done with it. So
I mean, like the Call of Duty people that do nothing but the multiplayer, I totally get why they get the season pass, because they're going to want all those new map packs because that's all that they play. That makes total sense. Just for me, I need more single player content. Like, I need two things with the season pass. That I'm not counting the episodic games. I need single player content in order to do it, and I need it to be for a game that I love so much I'm going to dedicate like all this time, like a Mass Effect, a Dragon Age, yep. something like that. And unfortunately, I won't know that until I actually play. And at least they've abandoned what they used to do with season passes was that you could only pre-order them. You couldn't wait till the DLC was already out. At least now, like if, like for example, Mortal Kombat, you're like, oh, well, I didn't pre-order the combat pack, but I kind of want this. You can still buy it. Because I think that even Dragon Age, you can still, if you're liking the single player content that's coming out, some multiplayer content, you can still buy the season pass. It didn't used to be that way. It was like a set time, and it was like, you missed it, which was kind of bringing the mentality of, oh my God, I must get this now.
Yeah, and there's been times on Steam where they do it really well too, where you can buy the game, and then you know when they have their Steam sales, they'll be like, oh yeah, by the way, here was all this content. Oh, but it's on sale too. You can just go ahead and buy that too if you want. Mm-hmm. So, I would really like to see some of those Steam store practices, such as like, here's the game, here's all the content. Oh, by the way, here's a nice big bundle and we've discounted it. You can buy it. You didn't even have to buy the season pass, and away you go. So,
right.
I don't know.
Which is kind of what the Game of the Year editions are.
Yeah. All right, this horse is dead. Let's move on.
Yeah, this horse is dead.
This horse is dead.
But not my unicorn.
No, you and your unicorn. So what have you been playing with your happy-go-lucky unicorn coffee mug?
All right, well, I said I'm finished Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. So that's all I can say about that is that the art style is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It's kind of a watercolor-ish painting art style. It's a 2D platformer with stealth, which that should, you know, bring up like two things in the world that I hate, but at least the platforming isn't like horrible. It's not like a Mario platforming. And the stealth, like when you do have weapons that so you can, you know, do the brawling and everything, but the combat is difficult in 2D, so the stealth is really, really the way to go. And really, and the stealth is so much fun. It is so much fun to go through it and just find crazy ways to kill people and stash the body so that you aren't seen. I was never very good about being a shadow, which is where you run through it and don't kill anybody at all. Because I'm just like, well, it's much easier to go exploring if everybody's dead. But it's meant to be played multiple times. It has a new game plus at the end where you play the game over, but you get to keep all of your upgrades.
NG plus.
Yes. So that's, and also unlocks a hard mode as well at that point. Which, like, I had a hard enough time as it is, because it's so many of the enemies, it's like they hit you once and you're dead because they're so powerful. So, and they, you know, when you get through certain areas, they'll grade you on how you did. Whether you, I think they're like the three grades are like they're for if you were a shadow, an assassin, or brawler. Which Ball was like, you basically went through and didn't even try, just killed everybody. And then you get rated like, you know, gold, silver, or bronze. And depending on those gives you how many points. The highest you can get is gold shadow. That's the highest amount of points you can get. And that's what you use to buy your skills. So, so very, very different, very well done. Oh, it makes me wonder, it's like, man, like, how many, like, curtains and bushes and, like, little dark corners do they have all over the place? Like, wouldn't they just, wouldn't the, kind of the grapevine, like, wow, they kind of, like, we found a stack of dead bodies behind this curtain. Maybe we should tear down all curtains. So, if anyone, if, like I've said before, it's probably one of the best Assassin's Creed games I've ever played. I finished Broken Age as well.
Yeah.
Wrote my review on that, and that one really left me feeling very mixed. Like, the story was great. It was, like, really nice how it all came together, but the backtracking in it is awful. And the thing about the backtracking is that when you play Act 2, like, you don't get new areas. So the backtracking is not even fun because, like, I've been here before. I'm going back in this. And what I mean by backtracking, and that not that, oh, I didn't do this at the right time, so I got to go back and do it. It's like you realize, oh, I need to talk to this person to learn how to untie a certain knot. And I go talk to her, and she's like, yeah, I can tell you how to do that. What did the knot look like? And you're like, well, because you might remember it. And it gives you these list of descriptions like, I don't know what an alligator wrestling with a pretzel would look like. So either I can guess, or I can go back up and look at the knot and be like, okay, what does this possibly look like? Then come back down. Then you ask her again, she's, and you say, it looks like an alligator wrestling with a pretzel. That's a real answer, by the way. And so she's like, oh, yeah, I know how to untie that. Oh, wait, I don't have a pencil. So now you have to go find a fucking pencil.
Really?
Go get that and come back to her, and then she can draw it for you. If you get it wrong, then you have to come back and do that whole process all over again. And I know that Double Fine is known for its bizarre solutions for puzzles. Like, I think I remember Blake talking about, like, in Monkey Island, it was like shoelace and plus pizza equals helicopter. And, you know, this kind of does that too, but it was ridiculous. And it just got to the point, like, near the end, I was like, I just need this to be over because I'm tired of sitting there just trying to combine every little thing. Like, literally, so I need to wind this fork with yarn to give it to the space navigator to fly the ship. I'm not lying about that. And it's just, I just happened to be playing with an inventory. I put the fork. I was like, look, the yarn looks like spaghetti. And I put the fork with the yarn and it twirled up. I was like, well, that's weird. And it just got to the point where I went to the space navigator. I was just giving him everything I had. Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? And like, oh, so that works. Sure, that makes perfect sense. That's how it was for a lot of things. And plus, there is a, you have to do things in a proper flow. More annoying than usual. Because, like, the first act happened, like, every now and then. And this one was, no, several times. And you look at my hours for playing. Act 1 took me 4 hours to complete, which I think was a really good amount of time, you know, to play that type of game. Mm-hmm. The second act took me, it was 11.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And it was 11 hours of going to the same areas I'd already been through and backtracking, going back and forth and trying to figure out, like, oh, I need to switch. Oh, and not only that, but it made you switch between the two different characters to figure out a puzzle. Like, you had to figure out what pattern Shay had figured, what pattern to program the spaceship that he's in, the area that he's in. But the only way to figure that out for this little robot, this little Hexapel robot, to be able to use the spaceship. So you have to be able to figure that out. Well, the only way Shay can learn which pattern it is if you go back to the girl, Vela, and have her pick up a certain picture, because then the code is there. Because her seeing something makes sense for why Shay gets to do it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as like, I use the word obfuscate like all over my review. So it was it was disappointing. Like, it was like the art style is so great and the story is so sweet, and then just when you get the solutions, like, really, were you really trying that hard? You had to make it that difficult. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. And then, of course, like, after dinner, I sit down and I play the Mortal Kombat card game, because that takes me like 2 minutes.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
You addict.
It's easy. I just sit on the couch and just, you know, tap away. Mm-hmm. I'm this close to being able to, you know, buy Sonya Blade. You know, I got
priorities.
That's right. I do got priorities. I need to have my team girl squad. Just got Kitana. So.
Oh, brother.
What about you?
Well, let's see. More late dangerous. Getting close to trading in my mining ship for an exploration ship so I can start going out to the far reaches of space. That'll be fun. Mm. More Marvel Heroes. I think I'm like level 55, 56 now, so I'm almost capped at that. Really kind of curious what's going to happen, because at level 60 you can unlock one more play mode, so I'm really kind of wondering what happens at that point, because
okay.
If I'm doing what I'm doing now, the end game, there isn't a whole lot to do. I mean, unless you're really happy about grinding and making your character a little bit more powerful, but it's pretty much the same, like, three areas. Anyway, so we'll see how that goes. More Car Mechanic Simulator. It's getting harder and harder to repair cars because you have to take a lot more time in them. Getting close to buying my own car, which means I'm almost close enough to buy some parking space to park my rattle trap car, put that out, and I can start fixing that up.
Wow.
I know. It's a good time. I played some Destiny. Played this with both of my brothers, actually. One night we were one of my brothers, because we also played GTA 5. So we were playing, and then my other brother jumped on. We all started talking, and he's like, you should come play Destiny. We're like, you should come play Grand Theft Auto. He's like, I don't have it. So we jumped in and played some Destiny for a little bit. At that point, I was pretty inebriated. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. It's like
shitty bang bang.
Yeah, but my one brother plays it all the time, so he's like, "Yeah, we gotta go over here." And I was like, "Okay." And then they disappeared. And I was like, "I don't know where I'm going. I'm just gonna drive. I'm getting shot. I'm gonna shoot these people." My brother's like, "No, get over here." It's like, I don't, whatever. And I've been playing a lot of Mortal Kombat X, actually. I've been doing the hourly and daily towers whenever I can fucking get their online shit to work itself out. That's always a fun time. And then yesterday, I was like, okay, well, I've tried for 5 minutes to get to the living towers. I'll do just the classic towers. And that's where all suddenly I found out you get new storylines if you do the little 10, the classic tower, not the one with all the, not like the endless or the survival or
yeah.
Do the classic.
I have to go check that out, because you told me that yesterday. I was like, well, what? I need to go play.
Yeah, I did. I found out because I was playing Aaron Black, and all suddenly you find out nice little chunk of story about Aaron Black and how he was hired by Sung, and then he comes back and he kills everybody.
Awesome.
Like, you see him popping a cap in Takeda.
Who's
just
that? Takeda. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Takeda. Taco, Digos, potato. Anyway.
Kenshi's son, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh. So now there's a reason to start doing those, because, and it's
God,
it's
damn not, it, man.
And it's not animated. It's just like little hand still art, and then you got a guy talking to you. Because I didn't realize what was going on, because Wizard dish douchebag, the guy that you
Quan
fight
Chi?
In the story. No, the guy that
you Shinnok?
Yeah, that guy. So you fight him in his, you know, his wizard form, and then when you beat him, there's like this explosion, and he turns into his corrupted Shinnok. And I was like, wait, this is there's something else going on here. So I was watching a stream, so I plugged back into my PlayStation, and all suddenly I'm getting the story read to me. And it's like, oh, well, now I have to go through and play with all the other characters to see what, you know, you get as far as the storyline goes.
God damn it.
Yep. And then...
I don't have time, and I want to.
And then I found out that if you play the... so you have hourly towers, you have daily towers, then you have weekly tower, a weekly and a daily tower as far as in the living towers go. And I was like, okay, usually I just do the small one, the hourly one, because then I can jump off and I can go play some other practice mode, and then I come back and do another one. And I really hate that one because you always get some sort of random modifier. Yesterday I got a fucking rocket that kept homing in on me, which really pissed me off. But anyway, and then I was like, well, I've never done the daily one. Let's give that a try. So I did the daily one and unlocked a costume when I did it. It's like, oh, okay. I guess I'll do this one a little bit more. And you don't have the stupid modifier, like fucking shit that keeps coming up on grabbing you and stopping you in place, or homing missiles that you forget are coming at you and fuck up your combo and you lose. And anyway, so yeah, there's...
Does that happen in the other towers?
It happens in the small one, the hourly one. There's always some sort of random modifier that takes place. So sometimes it's like Scorpion's little hands that will come up out of the ground and hold you in place. Oh,
God.
So sometimes that'll happen. Sometimes you get, it's just various random modifiers that happen. And you can do the same thing if you do the classic tower. There's a test your might one, and but that one spawns like six different things. So you can have like fucking acid coming down or rays of light coming down that'll kill you, and fucking missiles tracking you, and your character is losing life. It's good for a challenge because it teaches you how to, you know, string your combos together and how to kind of fight a little bit faster. It sucks. And you're just like, I just want to beat these people and be done with it. So, I'll be doing the daily towers on a daily basis for a little while now. And I haven't touched the weekly tower because it's a little bit longer. So usually when I'm playing, I sit down for, I don't know, like a half hour. And I'm just like, and I spend a good 20 minutes just sitting in the training room, working out combos and trying out new characters.
Like, sounds like I need to start doing lunch with Mortal Kombat.
It's a good time. It's a good time. The living towers, it's great when you can get to them. But Warner or whoever's responsible for all that netcode going on and making that work, it sucks because
they can't even get the internet part of the card game to work right. Like, I thought it was just my iPad or my router, and I went to go where I could contact for support, and like all the reviews are like, the online portion does not work. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not me.
Yeah, and you get the same, like the living tower. If you go on to living towers, it's, I sat there for literally 5 minutes yesterday trying to get in. It's like, nope, can't do it. Can't refresh. And then because they were having some sort of problem, it kept coming back. And every time I'd come back to the main menu, it'd be like, hey, guess what? Your faction didn't win. Here's 3,000 gold. It's like, okay. Unfortunately, that gold didn't stack. It was only one shot of 3,000 gold that I got, even though I had to see it five times. It's just... They really need to fix that. And yeah, but once you get in, you know, you can do the living towers. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so that's it. That's what I've been playing. Lots of MKX. And
MKX is cool. Now I want to go play more MKX.
It's a good time.
I got to be reviewing the old blood.
Well, you know what? You could play it as soon as you take us out.
I wish. I got more work to do, but it's pretty to think so. But I will take us out anyway. Leave us a comment on this post or email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. If you have any particular topics you would like us to talk about, strategy guides, any questions about upcoming guides, I do my best. If you give me a couple days, Lee, I might actually be able to get you a real answer instead of me talking out of my ass. Tonight, we are recording our very first Book of the Month Club, where we are a strategy guide podcast, and we have a Book of the Month Club that's not about books.
It's so good.
Yep. You have to find out exactly what's going to be, but we are recording. We'll be recording with Blake and Ross, who we did the evil cast with for so many years. So we'll get those both up this week. Right, Chris?
It depends on how much editing I have to do. Actually, I may not even edit. I may just let our drunkenness carry over.
Don't edit. Don't even bother with that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be video anyway. No point in editing it. Screw it. So you can also follow us on Twitter. Chris is at Starvin. I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And of course, we ask that you keep on reading SGR. It's been kind of quiet right now. I know with the strategy guide stuff, but Witcher 3 is coming out soon. Maybe I'll have that guide reviewed like the next year, because that's how long it'll probably take me to finish the stupid game. The 200 hours plus content. That's just insane.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. I say that about a lot of things. Look at all the stuff I want to play. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. So we will talk to you very soon. I can't wait to talk about Helldivers tonight that I need to play today. Because, yeah, that's just how it goes.
You are on the ball. And with that, we are out. Peace.